you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verse for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Woo-hoo! Oh, this is a good one. That was Psalm 45, verse 1. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. Oh, wait, there's another day ahead of us tomorrow. It's leap year, so we can enjoy one more day in February. Some of you were born on the leap year, so you're like a fourth as old as you really are. I guess. You know how that is, Rob? And you wrote a story about it. Maybe we'll get to that. But on today's edition of Mark and Friends, I want to announce another initiative that we're launching. You know about the First Lady Ministry for Pastors' Wives. That's going to happen on April 2nd, in fact. I'm so excited about Rachel Kramer. She's a singer-songwriter, travels the country with the Kramers and sings and presents and is just a phenomenal woman of God, and she's going to pour into these pastors' wives. And talked a little about that yesterday and last week. But this is a new initiative. In fact, it's officially being launched today, and it's going to happen in a couple weeks. There's going to be 8 specific sessions, 2-hour sessions, to encourage you with editing skills, with learning to write creative stories, to review publications. In our case, the Prime Life Times, we're looking for future volunteers and copy editors and proofreaders. And so you're going to learn that, learn to use Microsoft Word, learn to structure
A Google spreadsheet.
Learn to clarify, be conscientious, completeness and correctness, the 4 C's we talked about a few months ago. And Rob Seidenberg, who's joining me in the studio today, he's our copy editor. He teaches these professional courses for the university and has done this for a number of years. And basically, it's going to begin March 12th, and it'll be every other Tuesday night, 5 to 7 p.m., and it'll go through June. So it'll be March 12th, March 26th, April 9th, April 23rd, May 14th, May 28th, June 11th, and June 28th. How many hours did you say? 2 hours times 8? 16 hours, I guess?
Yeah, it's 16 hours.
And it'll be held at the Salvation Army Red Shield Center here in Champaign. We appreciate them for accommodating these classes. And so you might be somebody, you know what? I've always thought about editing or being involved with the Prime Life Times. Our board member, Jim Miller, he's been doing some editing and proofreading. That might be something. Maybe you're retired and want to have a little hobby and learn how to do that. Or you're a high school student and you want to increase your writing skills. Or maybe you're in college and you're working on some papers and to be fine-tuned or to learn. And so there's a $20 cost, and that's to cover some of the photocopies and the materials. But that will begin happening in a couple weeks on March 12th. And if I have a chance today, we'll have it on our website, primelifetimes.com, a way for you to sign up and register. And so we want you to bring up notepad, pen and pencil, probably or possibly your laptop, and what you said, a dictionary. They need to have a dictionary to bring along.
Yeah, a specific dictionary, Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, so we're all on the same sheet of music.
Okay, and it's going to help you learn to edit and write and review, proofread. And hopefully some of you will be a part of the future of the Prime Life Times. And if you do volunteer or eventually submit content to the Prime Life Times, we'll refund that $20. So that's an incentive if you come and you attend the courses and learn. Rob wants to pour into you. He wants a future generation of editors and proofreaders, and he's going to use his skills. He's one of the best copy editors and trainers of editors in the area, and he can pour into you. And so it'll be 2 hours, 5 to 7 p.m., beginning March 12th. And
every other week.
Every other week, and we'll have more to say about that. And hopefully today or in the next couple of days, I'll have a link at primelifetimes.com Also at probably greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org. But I think we're going to drive everyone to primelifetimes.com, and you can learn about registering. And it might be something that you've always thought about, writing a book or your memoirs, or you just are interested in creative writing. So with this 8-week course, we'll train you, we'll encourage you, and we'll equip you to maybe volunteer in the future for the Prime Lifetimes. Anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, I'd like to say that these skills are transferable. So let's say you had always hoped to maybe be a proofreader or an editor. You'd always hoped to do some writing, and it wouldn't necessarily be for us, although we've had people learn a lot while working for us, volunteering for the Prime Life Times. But you can transfer these skills anywhere. If you move to Arizona tomorrow, you can take them with you. Well, after the course, of course.
Of course.
These are good skills to have.
And whether you're a senior and maybe retired and just want to look at it as a hobby to help proofread or learn how to be more effective with creative writing, or a high school or college student, this could be something that could help you in your career, or with papers that you have to write that have to be turned in on a monthly, weekly basis.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we do follow the Chicago Manual style, a little bit unusual for a periodical, but that's transferable to books, transferable to many university writing assignments and so on.
And Rob, we have a syllabus that will break down all 8 sessions and what will be covered, the anatomy of a newspaper, to tracking changes in Microsoft Word, to editing skills and editorial practices, writing good headlines and titles, to, I'm kind of going through the syllabus and the different sessions, style guidance and using the dictionary, hyphens and dashes. I remember the time when we had the prepositional phrases and all the different things that we can learn.
You might even learn about dangling participles.
So find out more. You can call the station, and as we get things posted, but it'll begin on March 12th and every other week, basically 5 to 7 p.m. at the Salvation Army Red Shield Center, 2212 North Market Street in Champaign, and it's the home of our studio here in Champaign, and we'd love for you to come out, and we have a number of our staff that are going to all go through this, so you might meet Karen Harrison or Nick or some of the other team members that'll help, but Rob is very capable. He's done this professionally for years, and I think you're just going to benefit by his wisdom, his insights, and his teaching skills. And so if you're interested, or you know somebody interested, have them call the station and we'll give you more information. But we did it 5 to 7 because if somebody's going to drive in, say from Springfield or Decatur or Bloomington, you'll have time to get home before it's too dark, and yet you'll also be able to benefit from 5 to 7 p.m. Oh, and you did mention, Rob.
Yeah, it's okay to bring a sack lunch if you want.
Yes.
If you can have a lunch for supper or dinner, as the case might be. So we don't mind if you eat, as long as you don't chew with your mouth open.
And so it's all going to be happening beginning March 12th. And what are we calling this? It's like the Spring Editorial Professional Workshop course for 2024. Is that?
I'm calling it Spring Training.
Okay, Spring Training. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be interesting. You'll learn a lot. And who knows how God may, as you learn these skills, launch you into being one of our content contributors. And so maybe you're somebody that's wanting to write a book or in the midst of writing a book or want to submit articles to different publications, well, you'll get the training, and it's all for $20. So you can't beat the price, and that's just to kind of give some skin in the game. We want you to come out, and if it costs you something, then maybe you'll attend each and every time. So 8 various courses with different subjects beginning March 12th. Tell a friend and join us on March 12th here.
And Mark, we will have to limit the number of students, so we're thinking maybe no more than 17 or 18, because, well, we want everybody to have as much individual attention as necessary. Mm-hmm. So we will have a limit. So if it fills up fast, it fills up.
Yeah.
And then Mark might ask me to do it again next year. I don't know.
And the Salvation Army, I think we're going to be able to use their big screen because you want to have a lot of visuals and people to be able to follow along. And you'll be training them. We'll be doing some skills and exercises. And I know I learned the last time you did this some years ago. Nowadays, we always put that comma before, you know, if it's three things, it's something, comma, and the last thing. And you separate that with the comma where before the and took care of the comma. Anyways, there's a lot of things you can learn. That was one of my big takeaways. So, all right. Well, it's Wednesday, and we love to do the Prime Life Times in review. The March edition actually arrived yesterday. It's being distributed to all sorts of areas, our 400-plus locations. Met up with a lot of the volunteers yesterday. Appreciate all of them making the deliveries. And so in the next few days, you will see the March edition out on the racks or on the countertops throughout the area. And we're excited about this one. So this is the second month that Nick has had the oversight of it, our new editor-in-chief, and Rob continues to serve as our copy editor. We appreciate Rob so very much. And you're known for rural memories and a number of submissions, but the coal mine, that was an interesting one.
Okay, well, don't be shocked about this coal mine, okay? It's just called the coal mine. It had been a march of slippery, packed snow and of icy roads from freezing rain. I had taken to putting tire chains on my vehicles until I got to the highway. One day, I cautiously negotiated a steep hill, noticing to my surprise some little black pieces of what I at first took to be coal cinders. At the top of the hill, I got off in a neighbor's driveway and picked up a piece of the material. It was Dawson Stoker coal, about the consistency of crushed gravel, ideal for providing traction on slippery slopes. Because coal had also been applied to my neighbor's driveway, I drove into the farmyard where I saw him coming out of the barn. I got out of my pickup and asked where he'd gotten the coal. "I've got a coal mine," he said. "Hop in the truck and I'll show you." I didn't believe for a minute that he had a coal mine, although I knew of coal deposits half an hour to our east. But I was certainly intrigued. My neighbor drove out to the highway, U.S. Route 136, and turned left. A couple miles up the road, he pulled off on the right-hand shoulder. The previous summer, a large, open semi, loaded with stoker coal, had gone off the road and tipped over. The recovery crew set up the semi and towed it away, but left tons of coal on the steep bank up near the fence that skirted the dense woods. The grass had grown up through the coal, making it invisible from the road. "Help yourself," my neighbor said, "but please don't tell anyone else." I helped myself, and I didn't tell anyone until now. I bought shelled corn and old paper feed sacks, which had reusable wire ties. They made perfect coal sacks, though a full bag weighed about 65 pounds. I even donated some coal to an elderly widow in town. I already provided her with firewood. A good supply of that and 30 bags or so of coal kept her house cozy and warm all winter. Our little farmhouse in West Central Illinois had an old U.S. Army cannon heater. That's a brand of stove, by the way, and it has nothing to do with heating cannons. I saw those stoves still in use at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, during my many visits there. The stove had been cracked, but someone used a high-carbon welding rod to do an excellent job of closing that crack and making a tight seam. That old crack never gave us any trouble, though the stove was often red hot as we burned coal, firewood, and even pieces of ancient tires that were still legal to burn in a stove in those long-ago days. The odor of coal smoke is not pleasant. Thus, once the coal was in the stove, we closed the stove door for the night. I had grown up with Dawson Stoker coal in the hills of northwestern Illinois, shoveling coal into the basement coal bin through a little window in the side of the house had been one of my childhood jobs. Dad filled the stoker with coal about every 4 hours, especially when the temperature was below zero. We had to periodically remove clinkers from the furnace, big chunks of burned coal that resembled volcanic rock. The clinkers went outside where we smashed them up with a sledgehammer to use for traction on our steep lane. My West Central Illinois neighbor, who had a fancy propane gas furnace to heat his house, continued to apply coal to the hilly roadway to provide traction for passing cars. I could never bring myself to waste the fuel in that way. Besides, I had plenty of wood ash and coal cinders to apply to ice and packed snow. and I never knew for sure when our coal mine would be exhausted.
Oh, the secret coal mine. Wow, but that makes the snow dark and dingy. And
no, because, yeah, I mean, it's not as if you're going to put a whole truckload there. It's not like that. When we took the big clinkers outside and threw them in a snowdrift, they sizzled for half an hour because a tremendous amount of heat in those clinkers that we took out of the furnace. And sometimes Dad had to use a giant rod to break those into smaller pieces because they'd be too big to get. They just kind of melt together. And then if you could smash them up enough, then you could get them out. He had all kinds of big tongs you could pull them out with and put them on the concrete floor. And then we took them out in a metal wheelbarrow. So those were the days, folks.
Wow. And you used the coal in the stove. I would have thought that the smell, but you always had to shut it down.
We just close it right away. And boy, a little coal smoke will just about run you out of the house.
Right, right.
Pretty nasty.
Wow. Hey, let's turn to page A15. There's the Wordsmith Workshop. I got a kick out of this term because there's something somewhat similar in Israel that one of our Israeli guides used to say. It was like nutnik or nutnik or something that was kind of an endearing but a derogatory term.
But anyways, I'll have to research that term because I haven't been to Israel. So this is called quidnunc. A quidnunc is an inquisitive and gossipy person who seeks the latest news or gossip and doesn't mind spreading it around. We might say a quidnunc is a busybody. Intellectual curiosity is generally a good thing, but nosiness is something quite different. Our English word quidnunc, now somewhat archaic, comes from Latin quid nunc, what now? If you've read the Roman poet Horace, maybe in Latin class, you might recognize the term from one of his humorous epistles. And so I think I have always fewer and fewer readers who studied Latin probably, but I had that distinction in the days when I was in high school.
So Latin, what now? Is it kind of like what now is going to come out of that person's mouth? Or
yeah,
like,
what's going on now? And, you know, I did live in bakery in Germany for almost a year. And my landlady, who also ran a little bake shop in the front, would come running into wherever I was and say, Rob, I have to tell you something. While it's still brew warm, brew warm was the word in German. And so she loved to pass on news, which it's probably gossip, but she just couldn't wait to tell somebody. And her husband was usually too busy to listen. So if I was around, I got an earful of...
You got the scoop.
I got the scoop, even if I didn't know the people involved. So that, I guess, maybe she was a quidnunc, sweet lady that she was.
Hey, I noticed on page A3, the first vending machine. I don't know if you know the history of our Tootsie Pop displays, but I had to do a lot of history to find out about vending and how it all worked and how it all started in Chicago because of the syndicate and the mob and the coin-operated pinball machines and the cigarette machines and the vending machines. It's cash and carry, so it was easy to not report for tax purposes and such. And so the syndicate ruled over a lot of the vending out of Chicago and probably other parts because you know, it went into people's pockets. But did you submit this one? The first
I did.
Okay, read that one.
Yeah, my name here is Pinelock Times staff writer. Yeah. The first vending machine. A vending machine vends or sells consumer goods. Early American machines sold cigarettes, a practice now fortunately illegal. And some people don't remember this.
Yeah.
But in the 1970s, the Army experimented with beer and vending machines in the barracks. They didn't do that for very long. The first known vending machine was manufactured by mathematician Heron, H-E-R-O-N, also called Hero of Alexandria. Besides his vending machine, Heron designed and built a steam turbine and an automatic temple door opener, among other practical inventions. That was in ancient Greece, about 62 B.C. To use Heron's vending machine, a prospective customer inserted the appropriate coin, and the machine dispensed so-called holy water. The coin dropped into a pan linked to a lever. The coin's weight moved the lever, and water flowed out of a spout. Eventually, the coin would fall off the pan, and a counterweight would snap the lever up and turn off the valve. Modern vending machines check the physical properties of coins even testing their electrical conductivity to know how much money you've inserted. And, of course, the liquid they dispense is not holy water, but Coke.
Yeah, Coke. And this was 62 B.C.?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Well, when you said, you know, a hero of Alexandria, yeah. I was going to comment that, boy, that's like an old-fashioned name. Well, yeah, sure. It is 62 B.C. Wow, vending. Well, the concept of vending or trading something through a coin. Yeah, because they got high-tech because people were using weighted slugs and different things. Mm-hmm. Now they have scanners and readers and now the credit card. And nowadays, people aren't carrying change hardly.
No.
Everyone's doing everything to get their credit card points or... tap their card. And so the Tootsie Pop displays that we still have out in about 30 locations, we in our heydays had over 150 of them. And I stopped counting, but we had over $200,000 in quarters that came in through those Tootsie Pops. Yeah, it's probably to this day maybe $300,000. But a quarter a time, some of those boxes would get $20 a week. Mm-hmm. It was like a donor, a monthly donor.
Sure,
But we still have them in a few different places.
And have you noticed the paper currency counters in the banks? They're so effective and efficient now, and they just don't make mistakes. And if there's something wrong with the bill, they know it and don't count it. So if there's a counterfeit bill in there, too bad. It's not getting counted.
Yeah.
So if you want to get $100 in 20s or $200 in 20s, the machine counts it out, checks the teller, and it does it in seconds. It's amazing.
Wow. Well, what's also amazing is what we're doing in a couple weeks. On March 12th, we're launching a special training. It'll be 8 sessions to learn to edit, to proofread, to review articles, to increase your skills in writing stories, to provide clarity and conciseness, completeness, and correctness as you write. And maybe you're going to submit some of your content to our beloved Prime Lifetimes publication. It's $20, and that basically covers some of the photocopy costs or the supplies that we'll need. It begins March 12th, and we'll have more on our website, primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. And Rob will be teaching it, and you're going to benefit. And whether you're a student or college age or maybe a senior that just wants to take up writing or help us with our beloved Prime Lifetimes publication, we could certainly use additional volunteers and people to assist us. But it'll begin on March 12th right here at the Salvation Army Red Shield Center in Champaign. But find out more by calling 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.